T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. This is Adam McKelvey, and he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Brewers.com, MLB.com. Good morning, Adam.
McKelvey.
What's going on, bud?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
I
Adam.
I heard your lead in, then I heard nothing you said. So whatever you ask me, ask it again.
Okay. Now, we didn't ask anything yet, but an amazing series. And as Craig Counsell pointed out, Player of the Month is already Christian Yelich, but that was a wild series, man, the way that thing capped off yesterday.
Yeah, maybe they have to start doing an April or a March player if they're going to start the season early now like they do. There's, you know, 3-4 games. You could do a Player of the Month for March.
Well, if they do the Player of the Month for like the NLCS, or if they do a Player of the Series for like the NLCS and the divisions, why not? Well, they don't do it for the division series, but the NLCS.
No.
But I mean, nonetheless, I mean, the guy just is continuing to rake. They haven't figured out a way. And Schultz, the manager of St. Louis, said, I played my little update there. I said, he said that this is a guy we got to figure out because he's clearly a thorn in our side.
Well, the most fascinating play of yesterday's game was Lorenzo Cain reaching on that, the hit off the pitcher's glove. If they get Cain out and you've got the winning run at third base, I think you put Yelich on and deal with Ryan Braun and Travis Shaw, which is, you know, sort of fascinating because it would mean putting the winning run on base, which is sort of the Bonzian treatment of a decade or so ago. And that's how good he is right now. You know, Ryan Braun said yesterday he's never seen anybody play baseball at such a high level for such a long period of time. And he created a huge stir because people talked about Trout and Bonds and all the great players who've gone on these runs. And it's, you know, point taken. But I think Braun's point was that he is at a level right now, and really since the All-Star break last year, where you can realistically compare him to the greatest stretches that anybody has ever seen. And that is quite a compliment. And it's not just 4 games again. It's dating back to the All-Star game, which, by the way, he hit a home run in.
You know, with Yelich, Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com, even yesterday with Cain on first, I was watching the game with a buddy, and we thought, do they walk him here? Because he is commanding that sort of attention right now. I think everybody figured there'd be maybe some sort of natural regression. I mean, he had a great series last year. I can't really describe to people when they ask me why he's so locked in and how he is so locked in. Do you have a way when you're asked how you describe how he's able to continue what he did last year to the early parts of 2019?
Well, I mean, he is just a really, really good hitter. And the Brewers expected an uptick in power. If you go back and you think about some of the players that David Stearns has acquired, he's really gone for left-handed bats where they feel like there's power upside in getting the guy into Miller Park. And that's worked. It worked for Eric Thames his first year here. Travis Shaw has seen a huge uptick in power. Yelich. They are constantly acquiring these lefty bats. And I think to free Yelich from Marlins Park, which is a really tough place to hit home runs, it's natural that you would see an uptick. The other thing that came up, and a reader pointed this out, that Pat Murphy talked about it. I don't know if it was on your air or somebody's air he talked about it, so I asked him about it yesterday. And Pat Murphy has this really interesting, you know, baseball is all about like sitting around and coming up with interesting theories for things. So his theory is that Eddie Cedar, whose arm was dragging at the end of last year, started to throw with a bunch of cut on his BP fastball. And a lot of guys kind of begged out because they want to see a straight line, you know, perfect 76-mile-an-hour batting practice fastball so they can hit a bunch of homers and feel themselves in BP. And Yelich, not wanting to disappoint anybody, you know, hung in there with Eddie Cedar. And Murphy's theory is that that actually benefited him because he was kind of fighting off these nasty pitches at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was helping him fight off nastier pitches at 7 o'clock at night. So Yelich sort of said, you know, he's not certain that anything changed or that he's pitched over the course of the year. But, look, again, that's what baseball is for. We all sit around for a bunch of hours every day and come up with, you know, theories for why things happen the way they do. And this one's Pat Murphy's, and he's sticking to it.
You know, the first time through the rotation for the three young guys, okay, Woodruff made the start. Burns, of course, yesterday gave the three home runs, but he also struck out 12. And, of course, Peralta on Friday. I mean, I think so far so good with those three guys through the one time through, but, I mean, showing that they can get the job done in the rotation, yeah, even though Peralta had a little bit.
At one point, you're going to have one of these guys go six innings.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but without a doubt.
No, Bart's right. And, look, Woodruff later in the year probably gets another inning where he was at. He was kind of in the middle of the lineup. But 100 pitches early, where these guys are at in terms of, like, ramping up and building pitch counts, it's really common for the first week that guys don't, you know, for a Brewers pitcher, first of all, they hit 100 pitches is like a cause for fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think later in the year, Woodruff goes a little deeper, so there's one. There were things to be excited about Corbin Burns yesterday. He missed with some fastballs as the game went on and paid a big price for it against a Cardinals lineup that the Brewers expect to be extremely formidable this season. But you mentioned the strikeouts. It was impressive early. And, you know, we've got all these measurements now. Our guys, the StatCast experts, were saying that the system, it's been around since 2015. It had never seen a starter throw a fastball like Corbin Burns. They measure spin. And this isn't just us sitting around with the computers, you know, looking at things for fun. This is the things that players look at. And players are now building their repertoire at places like Driveline and other places in the offseason around what the numbers are telling them about spin and axis and all this kind of stuff. The spin on Burns' fastball yesterday was something they'd never seen from a starting pitcher. It was Scherzer and Verlander were sort of the benchmark for great spin, and the spin on a fastball is important because it creates that effect where the pitch looks like it rises, where it has that, you know, that run up toward the plate. And Burns was like far and away above the spin on those pitches. So, look, you still have to execute the pitch, as was proven when he gave up the home runs. But there are at least good tools to work with there, something unique. And as Craig Counsell always says about the Freddie Peralta fastball, it's different than what hitters see from other guys. And different is good for a pitcher. And that's what Corbin Burns has.
Yeah, I mean, they use some of their bullpen. And, yeah, you know, when he throws the 100 pitches, I remember a few years ago, it kind of reminded me when Yavani. Remember, I think it might have been 2011. He went deep into a game. He pitched like eighth or nine innings, and it was like a 1 or 2-0 game. And then Ranicki took some criticism for that because it was like, man, you know, you pitched him this thing. And Ivani seemed to be affected a couple of starts later because it was like his second or first or second start or third start, and he went so deep in the game and it kind of affected him down the road.
Yeah, and look, you have to, again, it's this balance that we'll talk about, I'm sure, all year between winning the game today and thinking about tomorrow. And when you're a manager, you have to do a little bit of both. I think you try to win the game today first. And, you know, look, if we're talking about this first series, there were a couple encouraging things in that bullpen, too. Like, if Jeremy Jeffress is making progress, they're thinking he's going to get in a minor league game at the end of this week, a Triple-A game. So he's getting there. But let's say he's out for a little while longer. And Josh Hader, we know that they're going to rest him. That's established. And everybody needs to just accept that he's going to pitch as long as they can pitch him, and then they're going to have to rest him some days in between for him to be really good. They're going to need some of these other guys to fill the innings ahead of Josh Hader or to fill the innings when Hader's unavailable. And if you look at that opening series, you know, Matt Albers, it's two games, so nobody's lighting off fireworks about this one. But that was big. I think Alex Claudio was really good. And they think he's going to be a huge part of this bullpen this season. And there was one other guy that I, you know, anyway, they got performance.
Alex Wilson looked better.
That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Alex Wilson came in, and it was one game, but he covered parts of multiple innings and is a guy that's been there, got some experience. And I think we're going to see him in some ninth innings when Hader's not available. So those three relievers stood out to me as encouraging in that you are going to need guys, especially early when your starters are going to, you know, be on a little bit of a leash. And I think that was an important part of the opening series. And again, the Cardinals are very good. So this was a tough test, and everybody knows what the Brewers' April-May schedule looks like. So there's going to be lots of tough tests. Look, including these next three games in Cincinnati. This is an improved pitching team and with an offense that's really dangerous. So there are some really tough games for the Brewers early, and they're trying to figure out this bullpen order. And I think that there was good signs for counsel.
You know, the two highlights over the weekend, I think, Yelich, obviously, and then Hader with the immaculate inning. Very impressive on Saturday. And he did that in really the closer role. And so that's two saves now to start the season for Josh Hader. I still contend that if I had my way, and I think just based on what they did last year, you use him for the most opportune times, whether it's the fifth inning or ninth inning, whenever that comes up, that's when you use him. It seems like they're forced right now to almost use him in that ninth inning role. Is that something we can expect season long, or will they try to work Alex Wilson there? Or maybe even like Jeremy Jeffress, of course, when he comes back, or Matt Albers?
Yeah, look, I think the answer is we need to just kind of see how it plays out, because Council is not going to telegraph their thinking right now. But the thinking right now is clear is, as much as possible, they are going to push Josh Hader to the back of the game. Teams are getting away from like the traditional idea of a closer, saving your closer for save opportunities. So I think there will be some flexibility. But I do think that they're going to massage it compared to what last year looked like to try to make him perhaps available for more outings, shorter stints. But as we saw on opening day, that was a two-inning outing, so they're not going to shy away from that. And part of that is, and we went through this so much last year, the player himself. How do you each guy is different in terms of the way they bounce back and the way they perform, and it's become rather clear that Josh Hader is best when you let him eat for as long as he can, and then you give him a couple days off in between. And I still think there's going to be outings that look like that. But when possible, I think they're going to try to save him for as many late inning outings as they can. So that's going to be a really interesting sort of tug of war to watch in these early games, how it plays out. And the key to the whole thing, again, is having other guys that Craig Counsell can trust. If you think about early last year, it was Albers and Dan Jennings that were really the kind of the keys to that early season bullpen. Those were guys that you didn't, maybe you didn't have circled at the very start, but they ended up playing a big role in April and May, and they're going to need players like that again.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. Got to touch on the Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrel, anything. It just seems like those two guys want a ton of years and a ton of money, and they're just, as you talked with us last week, they're just not interested in anything short term.
Yeah, look, I don't hear anything about Keuchel. I really believe that it's more than negotiating position when David Stern says they want to give innings to their young guys. Craig Counsell says the story of this team spring training was the young pitcher's performance, and they decided to give these guys the opportunity and give them those innings. And I don't hear a word about Dallas Keuchel. Now, Kimbrel, they obviously don't want to pay him what Kimbrel's ask is. And you don't need to look any further to understand what Kimbrel is asking for than to look at the fact that no other team has signed a short-term deal. There are lots of teams right now that are dealing with what the Brewers are dealing with at the back end of their pen with Knebel and Jeffress, and worse. The Braves badly need bullpen. The Dodgers could use Craig Kimbrel. There's lots of teams that could use Kimbrel, but and if there were an opportunity to sign him for, say, a two-year deal, he would have been signed to a two-year deal. So that's the problem right now, is an impasse between what the guy wants and what the teams are willing to invest in a 30-year-old who finished the year the way he finished last season, who have other young players that they're, sort of thinking are going to step up and perform this season. And there's this divide right now, and there's just no sign that bridge is going to be crossed. But I still think it's going to be crossed at some point. I think there is going to come a point where Kimbrel signs some kind of shorter-term, high-dollar deal, and that's why I think it's wrong to say it's not going to happen for the Brewers. They are definitely engaged on this guy. Mark Attanasio is an aggressive owner who wants to win and is open to signing guys to these kind of contracts if that opportunity becomes available. And I guarantee you that the lines of communication are open between David Meter, who's Kimbrel's agent, and the Brewers. But again, it's right now there's just not many signs that anybody's close to coming to an agreement with him that both sides feel good about.
But are the Brewers tapped out at this point as far as cash? Are they tapped out? Are they at their limit to what they want to spend?
You're never capped out in baseball because there's no cap. So, you know, look, the Boston Red Sox badly need Craig Kimbrel, right? But because of the luxury tax implications for them, to sign him, someone did a great analysis the other day, to sign him to a $20 million one-year deal would cost the Red Sox like north of $40 million. Like, could they do that? Yeah, because in baseball there's no hard cap, but it creates a lot of pain. I think for the Brewers, they're at a place where their budget is stretched. It's already way above what they've ever done before, and Mark's thing has always been to run this as a sustainable business and not put yourself in a position where you lose so much money in one year that it hurts you in subsequent years, and that it caps your decisions in subsequent years when you can do something to help your team win. And the other part about this is maintaining flexibility for additions in the offseason if, God forbid, something happens to one of your key players at another position and you need to fill that spot. So, but you can't say no in baseball because there's always – you can always add if you're willing to pay the price. And I think that will remain true for this team. There's no such thing as a bad one-year deal because you can get a guy for 1 year, really go for it, know you're going to lose money, but the pain is not suffered then for years and years and years after. So that's why I don't think you can say close the door on it entirely.
Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. We appreciate your help and your coverage. You can find him all over the internet at Adam McKelvey. Travel safe, bud. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes. Everybody say a silent prayer for my plane because it's the first trip of the year and we're already dealing with massive delays.
What are you flying on today?
The fine folks of United.
Because I'm on Southwest and I see delays for them. I got to fly out to Arizona.
Oh, you're leaving today. That's right.
Yeah, I'm driving my grandma back from Arizona.
Oh, man.
The story is that the whole system is delayed by a software outage.
Oh, that's not good. Well, at least it's not a plane outage.
I'll do the show tomorrow and fly out tomorrow.
Hey, there you go.
Well, you can always drive to Cincinnati. It's not that tough.
Just get an Enterprise rent-a-car. Help out my wife.
Todd Rosiak and I did that on the way home last year when we had a cancellation. We had a little planes, trains, and automobiles. You know what town you go through if you drive from Cincinnati to Milwaukee or vice versa?
Indy?
Shelbyville, Indiana.
Yeah. Who's from there?
The Simpsons.
Oh, okay. I'm not a Simpsons guy. Sorry.
I do remember that.
That was their rival. The rivals, right?
Yeah, I remember that trip because that's, if I'm not mistaken, that's when you discovered Instagram and you put up way too many posts.
And my intern, who's 22 years old, was sitting at my seat when I showed up the next day, horrified that I posted multiple pictures on Instagram on the same day. You put
one out a day.
Physically,
you can't put four or five a day. Not like Facebook where you just
too much.
Okay.
Not like Twitter where you tweet 100 times a day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, there are different rules for all these.
Okay, well, that'd be like my kind of social media, like once a day.
Yeah, get on Instagram frames.
Oh, man.
All right, travel safe. We will talk to you next week.
All right, I'm going to try to figure out social media in the meantime. See you guys.
See ya.
Tell Chuck when you do.
See ya.
Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.